Will you pray with me, please? Loving God, we ask that you open our eyes, you open our ears, and you open our hearts so that we may experience you, we may live into your call, and we may express your love to others. Amen. So in the story we heard this morning, we experience this sense of surprise by the insight that comes out of a person no longer being blind. The irony of the story, of course, is that this person gains his sight and all of the people around him can't see. As we know, especially in scriptures about healing, it's often not really about the physical ailment, although this is a story about someone who physically couldn't see. But the more important message is not being able to comprehend or not being willing to comprehend. So blindness is a location. Blindness is a worldview. It's not just physically having someone's eyes not work. It's about who we are and our inability, all of us as human beings, our inability to truly see what's in front of us. Can we see? And I'm not talking about with our eyes, but the eyes of our hearts. Can we see? And can we acknowledge other people's seeing? We ask God during this time of Lent, with our Lenten series, our Naked Faith series, to lay us bare. In the prayer this morning, I said, expose us, dear God. So that's, as I've mentioned, a scary concept, right? This naked faith idea, stripping away all of the stuff. Not just because bodies make us vulnerable, but more importantly, because who we are is vulnerable. And in being naked, spiritually naked, we risk people seeing us fully. And when the man who's healed is suddenly able to physically see fully, what's the community's reaction to this healing? It's not true. They don't believe him. They are looking with their own eyes and seeing someone who very clearly used to be blind and now can see. If you've ever interacted with someone who cannot see, there are lots of clues that a person actually is able to see. He's clearly telling the truth that his eyes are working. And people say, that didn't happen. They go on to say, that's not even him. That's someone who looks like him, but that's not him. Because what they see with their own eyes isn't believable. Also, what does it say about this man and his relationship with this community? How this community treated him and saw him? Was blindness his defining quality? I always find it interesting when someone is not named in the text. Even in the text, he's referred to as the blind man, or the man who was healed from blindness. The story tells us that it is so hard to believe the things we know are true. And it tells us what happens in a community when the things we know are true are terrifying to us. When we are laid bare and having to accept this reality. So what does the community do? They try to control the narrative. They try to contain it. And the Pharisees, do they celebrate Jesus and say, good job, Jesus. You're working extra hard. You're doing it on the Sabbath. No, of course not. The Pharisees want to contain this miracle. They want to rein it in and say, he is a sinner. It doesn't matter that this man who could not see now can see because he did it on the Sabbath. And that's not okay. Why is that more important? Well, partly because the religious authorities are in charge of dispensing the grace and defining the sin. And Jesus steps in and says, I've got a lot of grace to give. And this guy, he's not blind because of sin. And that's scary stuff. When you also think about the fact that being blind in antiquity is very different than being blind today. Today, there are at the crosswalks, there's a beeping sound so people don't step out in traffic. There are all kinds of ways that people who are blind are accommodated and taken care of. And back then, people who were blind represented sin and evil. They were expected to just basically disappear, to just die. And instead, it was his blindness that disappeared, and suddenly he could see. And this text calls out people who are antagonistic in the faith community. It calls out those who want chaos and mess to overshadow the true message of Christ. And where do we do this in our own lives? Again and again in Scripture, we find these little things that a couple thousand years later, wow, it speaks to us. Isn't it so much easier for us to get caught up in gossip and details and messiness than to get swept away by grace, right? Aren't you more likely to pick up your phone, and apparently people use phones to call. I only use it to text. But whichever you do, isn't it easier to pick up your phone and send a text or pick up a phone and call when you get some bad news, when you've got something to tell on someone else, and oh, did you hear what he wore? Did you see what he wore at Pride yesterday? Oh my God, did you see how drunk so-and-so was? Or what they got up to, right? Yeah? You probably heard more about that when we're talking about Pride than, wow, did you see the amazing opportunity that we had as a church to go out in Tampa and show that we are a church that loves everyone. You know, I've already seen on Facebook and heard stories about yesterday, and most of them are hilarious, but not full of grace. What I want to hear is the story of how we are in a parade going through a neighborhood with little kids who live in that neighborhood and out there with their parents catching beads. And they see us, a church that is part of this parade. And they get the message from the time they're little that these people aren't scary. This gay pride parade stuff isn't bad. These people can bless us. So that is what it is like to see. But it's so much easier to not see. It is so much easier to hide from the truth that we are amazing. It is so much easier to be antagonistic instead of loving. So what issues do we all carry that make it easier for us to be blind? What is it that makes it so hard to see what is right in front of us, the blessings that are right in front of us? What truth are you in your lives hiding from? Think about that. What truth is it in you that you are hiding from? In this series where we're talking about naked faith, I will give you a hint of what you might be hiding from in your own life. That thing of when we think about being naked and it's scary, it's the vulnerability. And when we are vulnerable, we have to kind of admit that we might be spectacular, and that is terrifying. Like the man who lived his whole life not being able to see and suddenly could see in a culture where being blind meant that you were absolutely an outcast, and suddenly he is whole. It wasn't that his eyes worked that made him whole. It was that he was suddenly able to be recognized as a full human being, and he shows up and nobody recognizes him. Because it is terrifying that someone can be spectacular, that someone can be radically transformed and healed. And do you know why it is terrifying that someone can be transformed and healed? Because if they do it, then we can do it. And that scares us. As our beautiful children were telling us this morning about, and the kids' message about jealousy and being glad for people, it is much easier to just be jealous, right? When something happens, something good. When Xander came running up with his awesome shoes. Man, I was so jealous. But isn't it more fun to let ourselves be really happy for each other? We are hiding from God's brilliance instead of celebrating it. The best way to celebrate God's brilliance is recognizing it in other people and encouraging it and fostering it so that it will grow. So we see this scripture that so beautifully illustrates exactly how we handle things as well. You know, the circumstances and details are different, but the spirit behind it is spot on. Everyone fails this man. His parents fail him. The religious authority comes to them and says, "Is this your son? How is he not blind anymore?" And they say, "I don't know, ask him." His community fails him, doubting who he really is and how he got the way that he is. He finds himself abandoned by his community, by religious leaders. This amazing thing has happened to him, and everyone is just backing away and scared. And you have to wonder what he's thinking, because he's already heard, okay, it's not sin that made him blind, but this opportunity for God's amazing works to be revealed in him. Now, he might be more together and holier than I am, but I think that if I heard that, I might feel a little bit ripped off, right? I mean, this is someone who had to, like, live into adulthood with being blind in a culture where that is a terrible thing so that he could be healed. I mean, yay, I'm healed, but did I have to be blind all this time? And Jesus, who heals him, does it with spit. I mean, come on. This guy has this amazing miracle, and there's all these details that are complicated. I was blind, and now I see. And that comes at a price. It comes at a price of faith, of community, of religious community. It comes at the price of his identity, because now he has to be more than he was. He is the embodiment of a miracle. He continues to tell the truth because what choice does he have? He is a living miracle. And everyone says, "No, you're not." And he's like, "Yeah, seriously, I can see you. Like, there's no real question here. I'm a miracle." And all right, brace yourselves. Here's the scary naked truth of all of it. You are a miracle. Each and every one of you is a miracle. Being blind is not about our eyes. It's about our hearts. It's about our decisions. It's about how we greet people, how we interact, who we are. And all of us have the ability to be healed. All of us in some way have experienced some amount of healing from our blindness. That's why we're here. How often in our lives are we told to witness Christ and then turn our backs? The Pharisees are the ones in the story who are blind. The community is blind. But we are not blind. We are healed with this man. We are joyfully receiving this amazing mud experience that Christ gives us, because life is messy and so are miracles. So will you celebrate with me the naked faith that we have and the miracle that we are? Amen.